Blog Talk Radio.
Folks with an L. In San Marcos, Texas, I'm broadcasting live from my brother's house. He's sitting right across from me. Him is his son Joe. He's a freshman in high school. He's a senior. And right in the Crockett Elementary. I don't think I ever went to Crockett. But anyway, tonight, folks, we are talking as a family. I tried to describe the demographic, and basically we are, what do we say? Middle class Hispanic family, blue collar family, talking about politics and candidates and things. What's that?
Oh, rough.
Or some roughneck stuff. That's what my brother said. He's been working in the oil industry for quite some time, and he's got some background on energy. We'll talk about some of that tonight too. Jay, our freshman, is on the debate team, so you're going to hear from a skilled debate master, pro. And King is the baseball guru, and he's going to talk a little bit about baseball and life in fifth grade. So first, let's get things started. Last night's debate, you know, I immediately began noticing all of the articles that came out. Basically, what they were saying was, what? Ted Cruz won. Some people say Trump won. I didn't hear anyone say Fiorina won or any. It seemed like it was Rubio, Cruz, Trump. I like Ben Carson, but he's pretty good. You don't like him, King? Okay, King is a fifth grader. You can't vote yet, but our freshman here will be voting soon, and you know. When we talk about politics, we talk about voting and how important it is to cast our votes to, and all that. And I know my brother here, he has said many times, I've heard you say it, that everything's rigged, the whole system's rigged, and that our vote doesn't matter. So I want you to tell the listeners why you think that is and if you still think that way.
Well, I have my reasons for it. Thinking that, you know, I hate to use the word conspiracy. I mean, because that's like, you know, nobody believes in stuff like that. You know, half the people don't believe in stuff like that. But to be honest with you, you know, when it comes to Congress, you have so many people involved in what laws are being signed, what laws are being made, and you just don't know who to trust at this point. I've always been, I try to simplify things and just say, you know what, if us as Americans, what we were brought up to believe in, stick with the family, stick with our moral values and the way we're supposed to be, and then we'll be okay. But I as far as trust, I trust nobody at this point. You know, I mean, I don't care. I think that at some point, there's a benefit for somebody in the end, and I don't know that if the American people are part of that agenda. I really don't.
Well, one thing you said when I first got here was about Ted Cruz and his comment about carpet bombing, yeah. And turning wanted to see if he could turn the sand into glass or
will it glow?
Will it glow? Yeah. So what did you think of that comment?
I actually loved it. You know why? Because somebody was out actually able to say something that, you know, you hear it all the time. Things are said, you know, that people want to say, but they get scrutinized, or they get, oh, you're not supposed to say this. It's called politically correct or incorrect or whatever. But, you know, I'm not going to say I dislike Cruz. I don't know him enough to like him or dislike him. But I love that statement because, you know what, at this point, I think the American people need something, and we're hungry for something. But for him to just that statement alone says a lot. You know, it tells me that, you know what, if he was really able to stand by it and to defend at the time of war, would he really be able to do it? And we will make the fans glow. And we'll find out, you know. And it sucks because, unfortunately, the sad part about it is that there'll probably be a lot of innocent lives involved. And, I mean, nobody wants to see that, but that's a fact of matter.
But they're even here, you know. They're all around us. We can't carpet bomb Dearborn, Michigan. We can't carpet bomb all these areas that they're settling in Houston and Dallas. You know, they're all over the I'm talking, and I'm not talking about just Islamists. I'm talking about the terrorists. These guys. Tell me, as a ninth grader, as a freshman in your debate class, do you guys talk about terrorism or anything like that?
Oh yeah, well, that's a big topic right now. It's in all of America, but yeah, in our debate class, that's one of the main topics. We recently had a public forum topic that was about whether or not Syrian refugees should, whether or not the country should prioritize humanitarian needs of the refugees, and we had to make a speech. And a lot of the cases that we argued for against the Syrian refugees had to do with national security. I mean, yes, some of the people need help, but national security is one of the biggest threats that's a threat to our nation.
How did it end up?
In a lot of the debate rounds, we would actually win on the national security because a lot of the judges believed in the fact that national security was a big thing we should worry about, and whether or not we should help these refugees at the cost of our nation's downfall.
And I think that's great that y'all are talking about that. It kind of helps to prepare the next generation for what's coming. And of course, here we have King, fifth grader. Do you think about anything when you watch the news? What do you think?
I think, well, we just had that terrorist bombing in Paris, I don't think. We've been talking about that a lot. Well, not that much, but in social studies, a little bit. And we've been talking about it here and there. It's not a main subject, but we're still talking about it.
Yeah, well, you're more of
I think I'm passing my phone back and forth and trying to create this little round table discussion. You know, I think most people are afraid of what's going on. They just shut down 640,000 students. To me, that seems like they won the battle.
I want a phone call. Thank you.
Yeah. I want a phone call.
You know, when you start locking down your country on phone calls, you've got a problem. You have a problem. Okay, that means that your security measures are, you know, I mean, these terrorists are winning, and that's exactly what they're talking about. This is how they win. Okay, us as Americans, we know we are no freedom. And the ability to do whatever the hell we want, and that's what we're gonna do, and so that's what we need to do, and you know, so I'm all for a candidate at this point, you know, that's willing to push that agenda to say, hey, you know what, we're not gonna be scared, we're not gonna be afraid, okay, this is what we have to do. And, you know, I mean, that's just it. We can't no longer do that. We're not scared. So we have to be able to defeat this.
People are, you know, they say that after 9/11, you know, it's been a long time since we had a big loss. I predict that they're going to do something drastic, and there'll be huge lives lost. But, you know, I was listening to a radio program, and they were talking about all the cyber wars that are going on, the hackers, and how the terrorists use the internet. And Trump mentioned shutting down parts of the internet. And, you know, some people say he shouldn't do that. As a freshman in high school, do you think it's okay for us to shut down internet to say, like, foreign countries that have hostile intentions?
No, I don't really think so. That's not really the United States federal government control. They don't really have control over the internet. They shouldn't really be able to control that.
So you kind of see that almost like an infringement of our rights.
Yeah, it kind of seems like that, because they're basically limiting some of the people's rights that they naturally have. So really, the federal government really shouldn't be able to have that power.
Well, the federal government has a lot of power. They just put 400 Syrian refugees in Ellis County, at Waxahachie area. Did you hear about that? They're here.
Yes, they're coming already.
What do you think of that?
I don't. Until we can truly document these people, and I mean, bottom line is we have a border problem, period. We all agree we've had a border problem. This is not nothing new. This isn't anything new. This is something that has been coming. This is something that's been now, it's at a forefront only because of this terrorist act, the acts that are happening. But this isn't nothing new. We've had illegal immigrants for years and years and years and years. You know, so, I mean, yeah, that is priority, you know, as far as in this country.
Well, you talk about illegal immigrants, and, you know, we'll talk about that because, you know, we know lots of people who are illegal.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But not all of them are criminals. Do you think that we should, as a nation, find a way to filter out the good ones from the bad ones and maybe find a way to keep the good ones and send the bad ones back?
Okay, Carson had a pretty good plan. I can't remember which. Ben Carson proposed a pretty good plan for the immigration that seemed pretty fair. He wasn't just going to let everyone in, but he proposed a way to filter out a good amount of terrorists from people who are just looking for a better life.
And so you think that a candidate who had a platform on immigration that was providing something like that, do you think they would get crossover support from Democrats and Republicans maybe?
Oh, yeah, because that immigration's a huge problem in our country. And I could see someone who proposed a fair but good plan of immigration, they would definitely get votes from both Republican and Democrat.
And everyone wants them to pay a price, a penalty. I've heard $3,000, I've heard $4,000 fines. Do you think that's okay?
Really, with the fines, I'm not so sure about that. Yes, money should have to be paid to the government, just like how American citizens have to pay taxes. Yes, some money should have to be paid.
And, you know, we're just going to stick on this high school track here. What's the number one issue that you see people your age are having to deal with?
A big problem that I would have to say would be around my age is just a lot of people have been don't want to basically don't want to offend anyone. As you were saying, politically correct. That's a big problem nowadays because everyone wants to be basically forces you to be politically correct. Oh, you have to say the right words. Oh, you can't say some words. They are nowadays. I'm not saying to be racist or anything, but some things are called as they were. I know in the last debate, almost all the candidates were saying we have to call them as what they are, as Islamic extremists. It's not being offensive being one. That's just how things are.
Yeah. The president won't even do that. But, you know, I think, you know.
And I'm glad they called him out on it. On this debate. They called him out on it, 10 times, 15 times? They called him out on it. And I'm just waiting for his response to just see what he says.
Okay, so we're going to switch over to King here. King is our fifth grader. Do y'all, Crockett's been around forever. Crockett, 56 years, so a long time. What's the most interesting subject that you take in class?
Personally, I don't like math. I love science. Love social studies, too. I mean, I love social studies and science the best.
Why?
Because science, they talk about the things that were happening to a million years ago, like erosion and how things were built, not by man-made things, but by the earth, like the Grand Canyon, that wasn't man-made. Those are like more than 5 or 50 feet tall, I think.
Oh, yeah, way over 50 feet.
Yeah.
So you like science, you like social studies. What are your friends, what are they like? I mean,
most of my friends, they're all into comedy. Some of them like math. Some of them like recess. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I like recess, too.
Yep. With great opportunity to run and get hot and all that. I haven't done that in a long time, folks. The Duke Machado Show, you're listening live. I'm broadcasting from San Marcos, Texas. I'm sitting here at my brother's house with family. Tell me, what's on everybody's mind? I mean, what's everyone's biggest concern?
My biggest concern, honestly, as a hardworking American, day for day, waking up, I've been more, I've benefited from my hard work. And I've had quite a bit, but at times I live from check to check, and so I consider myself a blue collar worker, you know. But I've been able to provide for my family and be a man's man, you know, and live the American dream is to be able to see your sons, or your family be able to survive and be healthy and give blessings. Well, number one thing that I don't like right now is the fact that our Christian beliefs are really getting torn down. They're really shutting us down as Christians, and it bothers me every day. I'm almost on the lookout for everything that for some reason, and this has started almost 10 years ago. I mean, this has been for as far as the Pledge of Allegiance, as far as we can't use God and all of that. I think faith and religion is the number one thing that bothers me as a true American. And, you know, that this is what we're brought up to believe. And it gives us our strength. As far aside from your family, you have God and religion, you know. And when that gets taken away from you, where you're almost going to be under scrutiny. You're almost going to be locked up. at this point, you know, and this is what's coming, and it's time for people to start waking up. It really is. It's time for people to start waking up that, you know what, you're no longer in control, and you better hope that you vote for the right person.
Well, you certainly don't want to vote for a socialist like Bernie Sanders, who is an admitted socialist, and you don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton because, I mean, she's
got more problems than they do in the Middle East.
And that's a lot of problems.
Yeah.
That's a complicated nightmare.
She is ancient.
She's ancient. That's that might be in the next commercial, the anti-Hillary commercial. I had something really good. It was a fantastic story. Christmas, that's what it was, Christmas. You were talking about removing symbols. Christmas is a symbol. You know, they've been attacking Christmas. Schools, teachers are saying you can't sing Christmas songs, or you can't,
Yeah, I'm in choir, and they don't let us sing certain Christmas songs, and I'm like, why? And they're like, oh, we don't want to get into that right now. And I'm like, really? Why can't we sing things about Christmas? I mean, sure, we sing about Hanukkah every now and then. I don't mind that. But still, we should be allowed to sing what we want. I mean, it's Christmas. Or Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, whatever you call it.
Yeah, I think you should be able to sing a Christmas song. There's nothing wrong with singing a Christmas song. Christianity is definitely under attack. And, you know, we had dinner tonight. We all bowed our heads and we thank God for all of our blessings. We were thankful for our health and for the love that we have for our families. And, you know, we ask Him for guidance. It seems like you say, the values are slipping. What do you think is causing that?
Well, one, those that are in charge, man, you know, today, just, I mean, if I can go back to just having a day-to-day talk with gentlemen that work side by side with me, you know, today they had Christmas music playing on the overhead today, and there was Christmas music playing, and I remember these songs, and it used to be classic, you know, it's just the same classic songs, but when I talked to this gentleman today, you know, he was a little bit older than me, and I said, man, I said, you know, I remember my mom. You know, she's been a workaholic all her life. She's worked two jobs. Sometimes I've even seen her work three jobs. But when she was able to be off, the house was nice and clean. Christmas music was playing. The house smelled good. And it was just that beautiful time of the year that's what we enjoyed. And I looked forward to it. And I remember laying on the couch and just listening to the beautiful Christmas music, and that same music was playing today, you know, 20 something years later, and it reminds me of what we used to be and what America used to be, and this is the way we're going. So I'm willing to fight that battle and say, hey, you know what, this is what I want my kids to enjoy. This is what I want to be able to have the freedom to give to my kids, because if I can have that memory, I want us all to be able to remember that, you know, and so this guy tells me, he goes, you know, I remember what that was like too. I remember what that was like too, you know. So among two gentlemen, hardworking men, remembering what we used to be, it's pretty deep.
kind of a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to people who feel like our best days are behind us, and that what we're looking forward to in the future is kind of gloomy. What do you think? As a, you know, you're obviously you don't watch news all the time and that sort of thing. And you know, heck, when I was a freshman in high school, I promise you the last thing on my mind was politics and news. You know, but tell me, you're a little more clever than I was at your age. So tell me what's on your mind.
Well, a lot of, I don't know, I feel like political correctness is kind of a bandwagon nowadays. I mean, earlier today in school, the choir was walking around the school and they were singing holiday songs and they were singing Christmas songs. They were singing all kinds of different religious songs. They were singing some Jewish songs. I think I heard a couple Islamic songs. And one of my friends who's in choir, she's Jewish, and I asked her, does it bother you whenever you have to sing songs? She goes, no, I love Christmas songs. It's more than just, you don't have to believe in this one race to enjoy culture. You don't have to be a certain race to enjoy another race's culture. So political correctness seems more just a bandwagon nowadays. Just because someone who is very popular nowadays may say, oh, you can't say this, a lot of people will go on and not say that because this person said it. Like how Obama is. He doesn't really want to say Islamic extremist, however, so a lot of people don't say it just because that's the bandwagon nowadays. And people don't really believe that. They just are doing what's the popular thing right now.
They're afraid to be scrutinized.
Exactly. They're afraid to stand out, to be... they're afraid that someone's going to call them out on it when really it's not even a real belief that some people have. They just want to join the bandwagon. I know Ben Carson gets a lot of bad rap because sometimes he'll say something that isn't politically correct. I know Donald Trump doesn't care. He doesn't care if something's politically correct. But yeah, I feel like political correctness for the most part is all a bandwagon nowadays.
So I just moved the microphone over to King to test out his microphone skills. I know you're not shy, but, you know, in fifth grade, let me see, when I was in fifth grade, I was at Travis. It was Travis Elementary. And I loved it. I mean, to me, school was... it was fun. I had a lot of good friends and, you know, and all that. Do you ever think about...
Yes, a lot.
What do you think? What do you think it's going to be like when you're in high school?
I think I'm still going to work hard, but I think... I know the slack's not going to be... I'm looking at my dad right now, showing off his clothes. I'm just laughing. Yeah, but I look forward to the fun, the 1 hour lunch.
1 hour lunch.
Yeah.
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
it's the little. Oh no, no, we don't. Okay. No, we don't celebrate nothing about Michelle Obama. Okay, but here's a question that I know the listeners want to know. So the Democrat Party puts up President Obama, right, or puts up the candidate Obama. And the first time 60-some-odd percent of the Hispanic vote went to him, and the second time 70% of the Hispanic vote went to him. Well, why do you think Hispanics turned out for Obama?
I think you know, in the past we haven't had a Mexican president, we haven't had a black president. We haven't had a Mexican president, we haven't had a black president. We've only had whites in the past. And I'm not trying to say Abraham Lincoln's bad, but Yeah, we wanted to try something different. Look how that turned out.
I mostly think just because, me personally, I didn't like the other guy. What was his name?
Mitt Romney.
I wasn't a big fan of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney wasn't too excited about him. He just had too many flaws, and Obama was the
first potential
candidate. I mean, there have been some mistakes been made. We're about to get him out. So, yeah, I think Mitt Romney was the biggest reason why Obama went back in.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, why are Hispanics voting for Democrats? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, haven't we? I mean, I know it looks like our ninth graders got the clear picture, but, I mean, it seems like no one else, 70%, still throw their vote that way.
How many of the Hispanics that voted were actually documented? How many of the Hispanic vote is very important. It is. So is the black. So is the white. I'm dead set that, you know what? I mean, what if it went back to the whole Bush issue, you know, when you miscount votes and you start fumbling here and there, you know, you start doing all this stuff. I mean, the stuff just looks kind of shady. You know, I am one of those. I am one of those people that, you know what, I don't trust either of them. I don't know how you would call it, you know, whether it be liberal, Democratic, Republican.
You would be like an independent.
Yeah, I would probably be an independent. And I'd be like, you know what, let me tell you, you know, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I call it how it is. And that's just the way it is. But you're asking, your question is,
The Hispanic vote. 70%. Went over like this.
Boom. And
what's a Republican going to have to do to get that kind of vote?
I say just get the upper hand, get the crowd's attention.
Well,
do what Trump's doing.
Well, think about this. We have two Hispanics in the running right now. We do. We have two Hispanics in the running right now. And those that know Hispanics know one. The minute we feel they are kind of shade in their ways or whatever the way they do, they're going to fail. They will fail as far as the Hispanic vote goes. But, yeah, we have two Hispanics, and I'm very proud. I'm very proud. You know, say we got Rubio, we got Cruz. And not only that, we have a Bush in there with a Hispanic wife, you know. So, I mean, ain't no telling, you know. I mean, because we are strength in numbers, and hopefully that it goes the right way. That hopefully it goes the right way.
I enjoyed Trump's comment yesterday about I believe him and Bush were going at it, and he made a comment and he said, you know, Bush, you start off over here, and now you're all the way over there. Eventually, you're going to fall off stage.
I like that.
That was one of my favorite parts of the debate yesterday.
I love that.
Well, you know, people do watch the debates, folks. The debates do matter, and, you know, the opinions do get formed. Donald Trump, he's a potential vote here, right? I mean, if he were the nominee, Clinton or Bernie Sanders,
I do not trust Hillary Clinton. I used to think I loved Bill Clinton, even though I kind of still do. I just think that's a whole tarnished situation there. Yeah. I'd roll with Trump or any of the guys on stage, because you know what, and to be honest with you, I'm gonna tell you the one guy that I really like. To be honest, I mean, if I could say it straight up, I like that guy Kasich.
Kasich?
Yes, I really do. I really like Kasich. Why? Because of his just something about this guy. Look at this guy, and if you were to talk to him, you would probably find out a lot more knowledge than you think, man. Dude, I mean, you could just look at him. He reminds me of somebody that I've known, that I've worked with before, and very successful, but very, very, very hardcore. And Kasich just really, I don't know, he does.
Well, like you said, you got to win Ohio, and he's the governor of Ohio, so, you know, he's not out. You know, some people say he needs to drop out, but he's still in it.
You know, if I had to pick one candidate right now, that I would have to say my number one candidate right now is Ben Carson. Because I know Ben Carson, as I said, Ben Carson's received a lot of hate because of some things he said. Some of them were taken out of context, though. I mean, yesterday people would call him out. Yesterday Ben Carson even said about his movie, how he has a movie about his life story. I watched his movie about his life story, and it's actually a pretty good movie if you haven't watched it. Gifted Hands. That's a pretty good movie to go back and watch. It's actually telling his story, and Carson's actually got some pretty good ideas. I know, I'm a big fan of his immigration idea, but Carson, he's one of those smooth talkers, though. You know, he doesn't get as much screen time as maybe Trump or Rubio did, but he's one of those people that I feel is going to stay in there, and I'd like to see how far he goes with that.
So a lot of people say I like him, too. I think he's my number one pick also. But a lot of people say that he comes across as weak or soft or whatever.
Yesterday
he was very factual. No, he was very factual when he said, because, you know, say that about me. He goes, but if you look at my numbers, he goes, it speaks in volume. And that alone, I mean, it's true. You know, I mean, somebody doesn't have to, you know, somebody who doesn't have to say a whole lot of things is stronger in the end. You know what I mean? I don't have to say a whole lot.
Yeah. Look at my accomplishments.
Also, what's the name of the lady Republican that's running?
Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, yesterday she was, she had tried to attack Rubio, and she was saying something about how he wouldn't be able to make tough decisions, and how we need someone who can make those tough decisions and take the fall for it. I think Carson really meets that standard, because he was a neurosurgeon, and in that movie, his movie Gifted Hands, he had to make the decision on whether or not to perform on those twins that were, they were joined. And he was willing to take the fall for that, and he's willing to take the fall for the mistakes he's made, and he's willing to take the fall for that. I know yesterday, I know yesterday a lot of the crowd was booing the commentator because they asked him that question, would you be for the death of innocent lives? That wasn't a fair question. you're basically asking me, would I be okay with killing small children? That's a loaded question.
Ask Trump that, see what happens.
The way he dodged it, though.
Yeah,
he dodged it. He's like, you know.
Yeah, really? Like, yeah. I mean, that. Really, you're asking somebody like me about that?
Ask Hillary Clinton that. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, all right. Folks, our show is about come to an end tonight. I'm broadcasting again, the Duke Machado Show, all the way in San Marcos, Texas. You know, we are Longhorns. Yeah, Longhorns. Longhorn Nation, the Rattler Country. We are Rattler Country. They say Fang. Fangling, right? We might go out and do some block walking tonight, let people know the Republican Party's in the House, you know, and let people know that, you know, we may have a mark on something, and then we're going to leave. We can go whenever we want to, because this is our town, right? It's our town. I can tell you, tune in tomorrow night. You're not going to want to miss the Long Horn program. We've got Dr. David Walalu, who's going to join us. We're talking about the NSA. We're talking about all kinds of things. Oh, no, not the NSA. Maybe we'll talk about the NSA, too.
But definitely NATO and all the global commitments that we're making, are we jeopardizing ourselves? I'm not real sure, but I can promise you Dr. Walalu is going to put it down tomorrow night. So tune in, 10 p.m. Central Time, The Duke Machado Show. You'll find me on Facebook, The Duke Machado Show, or follow me on Twitter, @DukeMachado1. We're out of here.